I'm not here for is wasting time and worrying about onesies and twosies and, like Dr. Robert said, opening up the statute for something that isn't going to benefit the greater majority and is going to benefit only a minority of people.
Okay, doctors, can I just interrupt you? I'm sorry. Can we push this till the end under new business, old business, and bring it up there so we can keep the agenda flowing?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just wanted to put that forward because we have stuff, again, that's coming up right now. And again, Dr. O had asked for a workshop. Did that happen? No.
I agree. That's I've got that discussion point.
I can address that when we get to the executive director report. There's circumstances there that we can discuss.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
So I shall withdraw that motion.
I think we can withdraw it and then bring it back under new business or old business toward the end.
Yep.
I've made note, and I also had the workshop item on mine.
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, board members, as I said, we have a declaratory statement. Ms. Deb?
Thank you, board members. This is the petition for declaratory statement that you all had a presentation from Ms. Driggers at your last meeting. I did listen to the audio of the meeting, so I know what you all said. And my what I gleaned from the discussion that you all had was you had tabled this petition until this meeting because you wanted more information on dry needling. So there is some additional information that was provided to you showing that Texas identifies it, and there's some other chart of other states and how they feel. But basically the question that's before you today is, if a chiropractor is competent to do so and they're properly trained in performing dry needling, that is a permitted activity within the scope of your practice. So basically your answer to the question is either yes it is or no it isn't, and if your answer is no it isn't, then you need to specify why you don't believe that it's within your scope of practice. Ms. Driggers, did you want to add any additional information?
I would briefly, just because it's been since August 17th, but I will keep it my remarks brief. And Kim Driggers, General Counsel for the Florida Chiropractic Association. And I'd like to incorporate any arguments that were made by myself or expert witness Dr. Aaron Wiegand, that's W-I-E-G-A-N-D, at the August 17th Board of Chiropractic Medicine meeting in Orlando. The declaratory statement, again, you've had them before you, but it's used to resolve questions or doubts as to how statutes or rules apply. The first DCA explained the purpose quite well, and it's to help avoid costly administrative litigation by selecting the proper course of action in advance and offer you useful guidance. In this particular case, I've stated with regard to standing, we've had numerous chiropractors come to us and ask if dry needling is within scope. The prior board had made comments on the record, and it became undetermined whether or not the Board of Chiropractic Medicine would deem it within scope. So we are bringing it before you to avoid any practitioner out there from performing it and having a disciplinary action brought against them, to avoid them the cost of doing so, and also to include another very positive treatment modality within their course of practice. Our statute, our scope of medicine, 460.403, section 9C1, states that chiropractic physicians may adjust, manipulate, or treat the human body by manual, mechanical, electrical, or natural methods, by the use of physical means or physiotherapy, including light, heat, water, or exercise, by the use of acupuncture. And then it goes on to allow numerous other things and withdraw the ability to prescribe or administer legend drugs. It's our position that dry needling is classified as manual therapy, as it is in the Physical Therapy Practice Act, and also as it's included by the athletic trainers who can now perform dry needling as of December of 2022. Whether dry needling is categorized or classified as manual therapy, as manipulative therapy, or as physiotherapy or physical therapy It is our position that is it is within the chiropractic scope of practice in Florida, and because it's included in all three, that the declaratory judgment should be accepted or stated in the positive. And that's all, that's what I have.
Board members, do we have discussion?
I'd like to make the motion to accept the DEC statement that it is in the scope.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor by Dr. Melton to accept the declaratory statement as it is competent, if a DC is competent and properly trained, that it is
within the scope.
Within the scope. Is that correct? And we have a second by Dr. Roberts. Discussion.
Can I talk?
Yes, sir.
You know, there's the why. You know, if you guys saying we're going to say yay or nay and then say why, my answer is no. And, you know, there's a reason why I'm saying no. It's because I'm one of the few people in Florida, probably one of the few people in the United States that defend chiropractors, and I average about two a year over the last 12 years. And so over the last 6 months, I have six, one a month. And that's just for chiropractic. And so, you know, the last time we looked at the dry needling, I did my own research when I went back home, and I'm seeing, you know, all these modules. There's like four modules, and it was like 54 to 75 hours, and it talked about technique, safety. Safety is the key word. And then all the needles go from a couple millimeters to, you know, I forgot what the gentleman said, but I saw it as half inch to 3 inches. And, you know, I'm all about safety. I'm all about protecting, you know, the patients, and I'm all about competency. And, you know, I graduated in 1998. They didn't talk anything about that. And if we say yes, now we're dealing with the wild, wild west of saying, okay, we can do it. Let me take a weekend seminar, like these PTs take a weekend seminar of adjusting. And then when the DOs come in my office and I'm adjusting them, I bust their chops and say, why don't you go to your own profession? They go, because we don't know what we're doing. I said, I agree. So that's why they come into my office. You know, that's my research.
If I may.
Okay. Yes, Dr. Melton.
Well, I don't think that that precludes it from being within the scope of practice. I think what you're saying, which I agree with, is that there should be some, you know, sort of stipulations maybe in terms of what your education, you know, is in terms of dry needling, how many hours. If some of the stuff that was given to us in the board, like Colorado requires 24 hours, you know, so there's guidelines here for what that dry needling requirement may look like. But in terms of is it in the scope of practice, which is what this DEC statement is about, that's separate from, you know, what we may require a provider to have in terms of training to provide the treatment professionally and safely. So I would be open for that. I mean, we can add that too.
Well, for the purposes of the DEC statement, you don't necessarily need to. I mean, that would be something for a future meeting. And just to address Dr. Cielo's comments, the scope of practice is generic, just so that when there are advances or changes in techniques or modalities, then it's more flexible and you can adjust to that. Because I know that chiropractors use lasers, but nowhere in here does it specifically say laser. So the statute is generic just so that it's a little bit more flexible, as opposed to saying these are the things that you can do, you know, modality A, B, C, and D. Because if the statute says you can only do modality A, B, C, and D, then that's all that you can do. And just one other comment, just generally speaking about declaratory statements. The other medical associations review the declaratory statements that are filed. If there was some question from the Florida Medical Association or the Osteopathic Medical Association, you most likely would have received a petition, a motion to intervene into this declaratory statement saying that it's not within your scope of practice. That didn't happen. So I would just take that for what it's worth.
Okay, board members, we do have two comments.
Dr. Roberts. I hear Dr. Cielo. I feel like we've talked about scope of practice, expanding our scope. This is an opportunity to essentially do, not really do so because it's really within our scope. But if we deny this, we're telling letting the physical therapists and the athletic trainers get a leg up on us. And I think we're better trained than either one, probably them combined. And I think that we definitely want to add to make this acceptable in our scope. That's mine.
Well, and there is a requirement, in, at least for the physical therapy assistant, that they can be supervised by a chiropractor. And so a chiropractor really shouldn't be supervising something that he or she can't do.
So that would essentially take something away from us if we didn't.
Okay,
board members. I feel like this is a complex problem. And there are a lot of unanswered questions, which is why last meeting I asked for a workshop so we can discuss this and in other modalities as well. In addition to, I do see it as a scope of practice enhancement. We're not trained in it. We haven't, we didn't learn it in college. It's just something new being introduced to the chiropractic profession. The PTs may have been doing it and the athletic trainers.
This is Dr. Comfort, and I agree with Dr. Roberts and Dr. Oliverio. With talking about this, which is obviously in the scope of practice, I would hate to see this opportunity go by. Obviously, the FCA is fired up about getting this through. I would love to see them put forward all of their vast resources for the betterment of not just what they want with this, but like Dr. Oliverio was saying, with an open discussion with everybody about finally getting everything that we need on our scope of practice and getting a lot of these problems that are becoming redundant in front of us fixed. So I think it's a great opportunity to do that.
It is.
And I think that, again, we are asking for a workshop to get this ironed out so we don't have to continue to go over things one at a time.
Dr. O?
And every state has got different requirements. It's all over the board from a weekend seminar to 25 hours to 50 hours to 300 hours to acupuncture accreditation to 2 years of expert tutelage doing this technique. It's like
And with all that being said, they're not indicating that it's not within the scope of chiropractic practice. They're just saying it's within the scope. However, you have to have this additional training and education in order to demonstrate competency. Mm-hmm. So the question that's before you all today is it within the scope, yes or no? Whether, if you say it is within the scope, then if you want to promulgate rules indicating if you're going to perform dry needling, this is what you have to do, then that would have to be something that you would have to do at a separate meeting.
Okay, board members, before we go any further, we have two speakers to this topic, so why don't we go ahead and welcome our speakers. Our first is Dr. Bill Heiser, and before you speak, if we could get you to be sworn in, that would be great, just because it is a declaratory statement.
I do. H-E-Y-S-E-R.
And Dr. Heiser is representing the Florida Chiropractic Physicians Association on dry needling.
Well, Dr. Comerford, you got your wish. You want to see the associations work together? We got the FCA, FCPA right here, so it didn't take long if you ask. I'm Bill Heiser. I'm in Tallahassee, Florida. I've been practicing for 36 years. I'm a DC. I hold an MD degree. I have a nurse practitioner master's degree. Our association is also supporting the dry needling. We feel like it's a valuable modality. It's certainly safe. And regarding, not having this in school, well, any of us have graduated, 15, 20 years ago, none of us had laser training in school. New things come up, and that's why we have continuing education, is to, maintain and to learn new things and to add new things, into our practice. So we feel that strongly that that dry needling is clearly within the scope of chiropractic practice. We support it. I actually asked for a declaratory statement back in the 90s as far as chiropractic physicians, is needle EMG within the scope of practice? And we successfully obtained a declaratory statement. It's a very similar type of thing, similar concerns. You know, as far as an EMG needle is a lot bigger, and we penetrate a lot deeper, and we penetrate into, more critical structures, the intertransverse area muscles at the spine. And, the proviso is we had to have appropriate training. Later on, they came later and said, associate a number of certain hours with it. But initially, it was if they had appropriate training and a neurology postgraduate program was considered proper and still is considered proper, training for the EMG. So I do see a relationship, even though one is testing, one is treatment. Quite frankly, dry needling, in my opinion, is much safer than even EMG, which would take much less training. So the FCPA is in support of the petition. We're working and we're hand-in-hand with the FCA on this.
Thank you. Dr. Brian Marardi? I'm sorry. Please. And if we could just have you sworn in, please.
Hello, test. Dr. Brian Moriarty, M-O-R-I-A-R-T-Y. It's Moriarty, Irish.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. I'm the president of the Florida Chiropractic Society, and I'm honored to be here today. Appreciate the opportunity to speak to this board. I appreciate the discussion at the last meeting and the tabling to find out more information on this topic. I appreciate the comments by Dr. Oliverio and Dr. Comerford, and the Florida Chiropractic Society is very open to meeting with the other groups as well on this topic and other topics. After sitting in the audience and listening to the applicants from Canada, I think there's a lot of stuff.
Excuse me, Dr. Moriarty. We are talking about dry needling right now. If you want to talk about that, we're going to have a more discussion about that.
In general, I think the statutes need revision. And I think that the only way to have that revision happen is by getting groups together and finding some common ground. And I think that this is one topic that we need to get together on and others. And I appreciate the comments by the board members to that effect. The Florida Chiropractic Society is opposed to this motion and would love to see more discussion. We have a lot of challenges to the scope. We think it's more of a legislative play, and would like to see this board present a legislative package this year if possible, if not next year, as soon as possible, coming with input from all of the groups, including the FCS. So I thank you for your consideration on this.
Thank you, sir. Yes, Ms. Driggers.
If I can just close before we all discuss whenever the chair sees fit.
Please.
Okay, thank you. The declaratory statement is very simple. It's our chiropractors in Florida who are allowed to already manipulate, provide manual therapy, provide mechanical traction therapy, provide physiotherapy, and provide acupuncture. You're allowed to do all of that. Can you join the 30 other states in the United States where chiropractic physicians are already allowed to do dry needling? Can you join the athletic trainers in the state of Florida to perform dry needling? And can you join the physical therapists in dry needling under your very broad scope of practice to perform dry needling? You wonder why the groups can't come together. We just had one that said they're opposed to dry needling as within the scope of practice in Florida. That's been the difficulty in getting the groups together. But the simple question is, within this broad scope and all of those different therapy modalities that you're allowed to do, can you do dry needling? And we, in the FCPA, would state that the answer to that declaratory statement is yes.
Thank you, Ms. Driggers. Okay, board members, we have a motion on the floor by Dr. Melton and a second by Dr. Roberts, affirming the declaratory statement and that it has a whether competent Florida chiropractic physicians can perform dry needling treatment in their scope of practice. So as Ms. Deb said, is it yes within the scope or no, not? Do we have any further discussion? Dr. Melton?
I'd just like to say for Dr. Todd and Dr. Oliveira that I think we all share the same concerns that we want this to be a good product. So don't get bogged down with what the requirement should be. We need to do is pass this thing and get into rulemaking, and we can make it 6,000 hours if y'all feel better about that. We still have the ability to come in after this. We're just saying yes it is or no it isn't. And then we come in, we follow this up and say, okay, here's what we want. We want this doctor to be competent by doing this many hours or this much physical training. So we're not precluding that. We're not just saying anybody can do it. We're just saying it's within the scope, and then we can follow it up and say, okay, these are the individuals that we're going to allow to do it. They're going to have these credentials.
Okay, thank you, Dr. Melton. Board members, any further discussion? Seeing none, what I'm going to do is ask the question and then do a roll call by name, because I can see we've got lots of different sides here, differing sides. So the motion in front of us is to accept the declaratory statement as it is within the scope of practice with dry needling. Dr. Roberts?
Yes.
Dr. Todd?
No.
Dr. O?
No, not at this time.
Dr. Melton?
Yes.
Dr. Comerford?
No.
Saunders? No. Motion fails. Next item.
You have to have a motion because you still have to answer the question. So you would need to have a motion saying that it's not within the scope of practice.
Yes, ma'am. So, board members, we need a motion on the floor to say that this is not within our scope of practice as a Board of Chiropractic Medicine. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion for that.
Doctor,
requesting a workshop.
Dr. Todd,
I'm
just wondering if I should withdraw it, because if there's a statute change, you're telling us that it's not in our scope.
Say again?
Dr. O, you made the first motion.
Deborah, do you see a problem with that?
It's going to be a mess, but...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to withdraw the FCA's petition for declaratory statement so it doesn't make it difficult in the legislative process.
Okay. Do you all want to have a motion to accept the withdrawal of the petition?
I motion to accept. Can we schedule a workshop like we previously spoke about?
Can we do that later in the meeting?
When we get to that place in the agenda,
yeah.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That's a good idea.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor by Dr. Oliveira to accept the voluntary withdrawal of the DEC statement. Do we have a second?
Second. He already made that motion. I second.
We had a motion by Dr. O, a second by Dr. Comerford. Any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor of accepting the voluntary withdrawal of the DEC statement, say aye.
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 Motion passes. Okay, our next item on the agenda.
This is a petition to initiate rulemaking, and Ms. Driggers, this is also yours. It's a change to 64B2-18.003, and it involves eliminating the requirement that the CCPA curriculum training program be completed in no less than 24 months. Ms. Driggers, is Exhibit C, that was your suggested language?
Yes.
So that language is here for the board's review. Did you want to address the board or provide
I will
any
briefly.
More?
The materials are in your package, but the purpose of the petition is to bring the rule for CCPA training into compliance with Florida statutes and also to assist in fulfilling the new rule where this board changed it so that there can be 10 CCPAs to one chiropractic physician to make the process go more quickly. The current rule on CCPA training program requires a training course to be completed in no less than 24 months. So you're looking at a CCPA, if the physician wants a CCPA, they're looking at about 2.5 years before that CCPA can come on board with having to wait the full 24 months and then go through the application process. And I know there are other rules before, proposed rules before you to expedite that interview process. Back in 2012, when we had two chiropractic physicians in the legislature, which I would call the good old days, we had a bill called an act relating to chiropractic medicine, which included numerous things. In that bill, it was section 460.4165, it removed the 24-month time frame. So the rule now remains more restrictive than Florida statute. So it's already been removed in Florida statute, and this request is really just to bring the rule in compliance with Florida statute. And that's all I have.
Thank you. Board members, we do have, we can have a motion and a second first, or we can hear from the audience. We have two speakers to this item.
I'm confused. Didn't we address this 3 or 6 months
yes,
ago?
Sir. Pardon?
Didn't we address this 3 to 6 months ago?
We asked for discussion, and yes, the rules that are further down, but this, the requirement to remove the 24 months is not included. We talked about the CCPA supervisor. That's the next item on the agenda. The CCPA rules are there for consideration to add the supervising physician, et cetera.
But then I thought we had a, this is piecemealing it again. I mean, I'm all for this workshop thing because this is just redundancy. But didn't we talk about a form for Dr. Roberts? So, because I thought he was interviewing and then the form would make it streamlined for him.
Yes.
And then the CCPAs were going to come in, a workshop thing. And, you know, I'm sick and tired of saying workshop thing because we definitely have to have a workshop. You know, so I'm confused.
Well, so this had come up at a prior meeting. There was a discussion about the 200-hour CCPA training. I mean, it kind of all devolved out of the same thing, discussion. But we never changed the rule before. So we know that when the statute changed, the rule wasn't changed to reflect what the current statutory requirement is. So we're asking the board to approve this language, removing the 24-month requirement so that your rule is in accord with the statute. And you're not imposing, because by rule you can't impose something that's more stringent than what's required in the statute. And so I know that you were having a discussion, and some of the other rules further on talk about the CCPA, and we had another petition to initiate rulemaking on CCPAs that was talked about before that made some other changes. And so, this particular issue is just this particular rule and the language that's on Bates, page 1046.
So, Chair Saunders, this is Dr. Comerford. Yes, you were right. June 8th and August 17th, Tampa and Orlando, respectively, we did talk about this. We had talked about, I specifically was the one that made the motion to change it from 2 to 10 and using a digital monitoring system, doing away with the 30-mile. And this is an honest question, who brought that to the table? Was that the FCA?
This petition to
no,
remove?
I'm
there,
sorry.
There was a
the previous
a deck
one.
Statement. I think that was somebody else.
I think
else
it was FCC.
Had a,
yeah,
deck
no,
statement.
I think,
okay, so yeah. This is, again, for those that don't know the process, It was not the FCA. It was the FCC that brought this.
Yeah, FCC.
Now the FCA is bringing something again for a CCPA, which is great. And again, I'm not against this, but let's get our stuff together and get a rule that is all-encompassing so we don't have to piece and parcel all
just,
this stuff.
Issues come up at very different times.
Yes.
You but know? I mean, it's not a perfect union where this issue came up for a whole separate reason as to what they were doing, and it came up after.
We're not going to open up rulemaking once, twice, three, four times. So let's get this right. Let's come together with the FCA, FCC, FCS, FCPA, and get this right, whoever they are, the different groups, so that the board can get this right once again. Because, again, this is a perfect example of what I've already said, is that we need to get it right once and not continue to open up, wait a minute, let's go back and do this. Wait, we got one more thing. We got one more thing. If you have children, you know exactly what I'm talking about. So, again, this is part of it. Dr. Roberts, did you get the language yet for the digital conversations and or emails that we had talked about prior to this?
Have it's you on gotten Bates, that? Page 1073, the language for the rule to discuss CCPA supervising physician with all of the things that would be included in the application to prevent the need to have an in-person interview in the future. So, is on Bates, page 1073.
Okay, so we do have that. Good. Okay. What was the other thing? The questions and the language. And now we're talking about
you also have on Bates 1072 the proposed language to address the continuing education issues that we've addressed in the past two meetings. You have on Bates page 1071, you have proposed language that conforms continuing education for initial licensure period for CCPAs. And on 1067, you have proposed language for for continuing education for CCPAs and conformance based off of JAPSE requirements. This petition that was submitted by the FCA was submitted in August, immediately preceding our last meeting.
August,
it was not addressed because it was not, they're required to be noticed, and the public has given 21 days. The petition was submitted immediately before the meeting, so there was not time to give the public notice in order to intervene in the petition or make public comment, which is why it's on this agenda here today. But we have a comprehensive CCPA package for consideration by the board members to address all of the things that have been brought forward over the past two meetings.
Good. And then what about with the JAPSE statement that the CCPA rule and the DC rule could not be the same? That was something dealing
That's
with...
That's on Bates, page 1067 and 1071 and 1072.
Are those
the
all...
The changes that are necessary in order to address the JAPSE comments.
Okay. That's what I want to make sure of.
Okay, board members, if you'll grant me this time to bring up, we have two speakers on this topic. Jennifer Popham Martin, I'm sorry.
Well, before they come up, is it on this issue of eliminating the 24 months? If it's not on this issue, then. Okay. I just want to make sure because we've got so many other rules about CCPA.
The topic is CCPA licensure program time frame, and she's representing the Chiropractic Educational Network. And if please. Sworn in.
If you'd be sworn in, please.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you're about to give here today will be true or should be true?
Yes, ma'am.
And I need you to state and spell your name, please.
My name is Jennifer Martin Gano. The last name is MARTING.